we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, one of my favorite segments. We're about to kick it off. You know, there's people that you hear their names once in a while. They do stuff in the background. But I'm going to tell you right now, this show does not work without other people that are just great at what they do, helping make it great. And a couple of those people whose names you constantly hear about do a segment with us periodically because they actually have opinions of their own. And so I am proud right now to have a segment that we call Butters and Lee. Well, all right, sitting right here in the studio with me, in person, live, wearing his brand new Right Side Radio hat, Butters. How you doing, brother?
Man, I am loving this hat. That is my strongest opinion today. So we'll see how this goes.
All right, and also on the line with us right now is one of our favorite people, Lee from Huntsville. Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you just fine. You are good to go. Awesome. 5x5. All right. Listen, you know the deal. I ask y'all questions. I throw them out there. You guys give me your random, unvarnished opinions, and we just see where the chips fall. So without further ado, let me just kick it off. So here's the deal. This week, Space Camp. All right. Space Camp became quite the thing. Even took over our show one day, a whole show of Space Camp. Why? Because Space Camp thought there'd be nothing to it to have dudes that believe they're women walking into little girls' dressing rooms and being camp counselors for overnight stays and everything else. And yet those same people are not just, you know, in their lifestyle. They are with our kids, so to speak. And it caused a huge stir. I mean, like massive, to the point that legislation is being passed right now. It's a state organization. They receive state dollars. Here's my question, and Lee, I'll start with you because I know that Moms for Liberty has been all over this thing and you're involved with them. So if this were your child, what are you looking for in terms of, you know, what's next? You go.
I would say that the parents need to have the information up front. They don't need to find things out on the back end. And that's where the failure has been. It's not necessarily who they have hired, it's what you know ahead of time. So if they told me, hey, your child can come to space camp, but we allow every child to choose their own gender. So in your daughter's dorm could be a boy who lives as a girl, you know, biological boy, and you need to know that ahead of time. That would allow me to make the decision about whether or not I want to send my child there. That information was not provided. As well as if they said we have transgender counselors. So that I think the information needs to be out there, and then you don't have this kind of backlash.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. So basically, don't pretend it's not an issue when everybody knows that it is. Don't pretend. And give parents the ability to know up front so they can make an informed decision. But it's still a state organization. Butters, what say you, man? You're the dad of daughters.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't understand why they would even think this would be appropriate. I would not let my girls go be a part of that. Especially if you're letting having men with girls, like why is this even a discussion? I don't get this. It's absurd for the funding reasons. If they want to make it some private entity and go do that, I guess. But it's just, it just makes me sad that we're destroying something as awesome as space camp.
Yeah. My daughter went there.
Yeah. I mean, my oldest, got to go. My youngest didn't get to go, because of COVID, but, yeah, it's just a shame, you know. And okay, so we're promoting STEM, you know, all of the engineering, like what's the ramifications of all of this? And, you know, okay, just because we got to debate about whether dudes should be hanging out with girls or not.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is, they're teaching science but they're denying science at the same time.
Yeah.
And so here's the other thing. I have to wonder, did they not think twice about the idea? What we're being told right now is they're telling kids how to use pronouns at space camp and how to not misgender one of the counselors at space camp. And then the counselors, you know, the one in particular goes on and you know, designates himself a butch coded genderqueer space trainer wearing his space camp outfit with a rainbow flag sewn on it. And you look at that and go, what in God's name? And so there was apparently an unbridled ability to do whatever you wanted to do. And nobody thought to question or call it in. And so now they got legislation coming and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, I've just been listening to the Joe Rogan's interview with Riley Gaines. I know y'all were with her a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
So maybe I'm more fired up. But I think she brings up a lot of good points. Like, why are we talking about biological women? Like that doesn't make any sense. Of course, like a woman's a woman, a dude's a dude.
Yeah,
like, and I she puts it so well. And so like, why is this a debate? And what ridiculousness does this cause in our society that even allows us to have this conversation?
Lee, any final comments on that?
Yes, a female and male doesn't need a codifier. This is stupid. I'm a female. That's it. You don't need anything to know anything else. And when you're a biological male and you say you're a trans female, you're a dude.
Hey, Lee, you're like moved away from your microphone. It's like you're across the room from us. Can you come back to the mic?
I'm not actually away from him. I'm sorry. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay. I said, it's. I don't like that they use codifiers in front of female. I'm not a cis female. My sons aren't cis male. We are male and female. And all this other stuff is ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Listen, I'm gonna switch to the next question. All right. We're still in round one with Butters and Lee. All right. So here's my next question for you. It is, it's a political year, in case you hadn't noticed. Just saying. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's apparently an election going on. It's at all levels. I mean, we got down ticket, you know, down ballot votes and all this kind of stuff too. But of course, the top of the ticket is the presidential race right now. I got a couple of things here. First of all, who do you think is going to wind up being Trump's VP? And secondly, here's my next question. Has there ever been a year when the choice of vice presidents for either ticket has been more important? I mean, look at it. You've got Biden. If he drops dead 6 months after the election because he wins, suddenly it's Kamala Harris. Can they live with that? And then Trump's got to pick somebody that overcomes, you know, some of the stigma of people who wanted to vote for Nikki Haley because she hung in there to the end. He's going to win overwhelmingly, but his VP ticket might be a big deal. Has there ever been a year when the VP choice has been more important? Your first this time, Butters.
I don't know. I hate to even speculate because it's just there's so much theatrics with this whole thing.
There's no clown show here. There's no circus.
Did I see? I'm trying to recall. I think I saw Mike Rowe made a post that he's apparently a notional candidate out there.
Mike Rowe?
I that would be awesome. I don't know. Yes.
Is that a dirty jobs guy?
That's a dirty jobs, Mike Rowe.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I mean, to your point, it's pretty important. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a big deal, to see what he can get to draw the middle and the left of middle.
Yeah. Both top tier presidential candidates right now are, looking at being in their 80s during their term if they win. Anything can happen. And, so Lee, what are your thoughts? Is this the year when the VP choice means more than ever?
I think so. I think it's very, very important because Trump has to think about who he can pull in through his VP choice. But also, they're, like you said, they're both much older than what we're typically voting for. And so it does matter. And I mean, you asked me who I thought it would be?
Yeah. For Trump.
Yeah, as if Biden has a choice. He's stuck with Kamala.
He's
too bad for you.
If now suddenly Kamala says, I've got to spend more time with my family, we'll know something was up. But go ahead. What do you think Trump's going to be?
The Democrats are praying. I would like to see Vivek, but I don't think it will be him. I think it's going to be a female. I don't know. It's hard to say. Maybe what's her name?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah, she's and I'll tell you why, because I'm even putting thought into this because she's lost a bunch of weight lately, and I'm like,
that's not a measuring stick.
You try to look your best. Come on. They always dogged her about her weight and her makeup. So you watch, if she's dropped a bunch of weight and her makeup's looking fantastic, something's coming.
I think he's got to go with somebody that's going to appeal to the never Trumpers and to the left of center folks. I think if he goes with somebody, I mean, like, how do you get more extreme right? I think that's not really going to help in any way.
Okay. Then let me ask you this quick bonus question with 1 minute to go. Would he ever ask Nikki Haley to be his vice presidential candidate? Butters.
No. Oh, sorry.
just hold what you got there, Lee.
I don't think. I think I would agree. I don't think so. I think she's too establishment.
And, yeah. Okay. So what do you think there, Lee? No, is that what you said?
No. And they've already gotten into it. He's already given her a couple of shots on the chin. I mean, I just don't think so.
No. Yeah. I agree. I don't think Nikki Haley, not you know, if hell froze over and she had a blowtorch, I don't think they'd let her in anyway. All right. That's round one, Butters and Lee. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back from this break, and this is where we flip the script, and they just ask me and see what my thoughts are on I don't know what. We'll wait and see. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like saving the world. One soundbite at a time. Hey, going right back now to Butters and Lee. I guess this is the part where I wait to see what questions you have for me. So I'm gonna sling it over to Butters. You first, man. What do you got for me?
All right. So announcement came out the other day here locally. $6.5 million federal funds, I believe.
City of Gadsden.
Yep, slotted to the City of Gadsden to reroute 411. And it causes a churn of, because we've got a bridge that needs to be replaced. Yeah. We've got a stretch of interstate that hasn't been finished in decades. Kind of brings up the question of, like, how do roads get built in Alabama? How does the money flow? Like, how are they deciding? You know, I'm not trying to say it's good or bad, but it's an interesting.
Don't open that Pandora's box. Well, so I used to call it the politics of asphalt. One of the most political things in this state is road building. There's even a war between asphalt and concrete road builders. I mean, asphalt road builders have more lobbyists, so they wind up getting more stuff. But there was a period of time when it was like, you know, is you a concrete man or an asphalt man? I mean, it's like ridiculous. But then the other part of it is the money for road
building. It's a better debate than are you a man or a woman? Just saying.
I like it better. You're right. But I had a good friend of mine, Senator Bill Holtzclaw, who was from Huntsville. And he came out hard against the gas tax the first time they tried to pass it. He and I were two of the no votes on that first gas tax. And we killed it, by the way. He put up a billboard, said that he was not going to let his people have a gas tax raised on them. And so the Montgomery bureaucrats decided they would turn off his road projects. That's the politics of asphalt. But to your point, though, how do they get selected? First of all, LDOT is supposed to have a master plan, and they have a master plan for different regions. And those master plans are based upon traffic studies. And I've sat in on some of this. They're fascinating, you know, why you need a new red light here and all that. And some of it makes sense, and then there's politics. And so you get the makes sense part, yes, we got to relieve congestion on 280 or whatever. And then you get the other part that makes no sense, like, we're not going to build that bridge right now. We're going to do this pet project that the next political leadership said they would wink, wink, nod, nod for. And so it happens. And so it's crazy. But I'm going to tell you right now, you just stepped all in both feet, brother, because that's one. If you went down to Montgomery right now and said, I am the world's greatest asphalt lobbyist, you would have people hiring you tomorrow.
Well, I suppose I could figure something out.
It's yeah, I'm sure you could. All right, Lee, what question have you got for me?
I'll tell you in a second, but I do think it's funny that, you know, Winston County never had any roads built through it, and that dates all the way back to the Civil War, people punishing them for trying to secede from the state of Alabama.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
If you look at Winston County, it's nothing.
Well, if you also, by the way, if you look at the city of Birmingham, for a long time, I-65 didn't connect through. You had to go around.
Right.
As a kid, I used to drive through Fultondale, Gardendale, and all that for no reason. Like, why are we doing this? Because you can't. Because there was a lot of pushback against Birmingham politics.
Yes, roads are definitely political.
Oh, indeed. All right, what do you got?
Okay, so my question is about this whole situation going on in Haiti.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
with their, you know, essentially imploding, and their new leader Barbecue, which I can't even say that with straight face. And they're cannibal gangs, you know, it's craziness. And tie this all back to think about the Clintons, just, what was it, 2010, 2011, when the big earthquake hit there, and they raised billions to go into Haiti.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that money? Whatever happened to rebuilding there? How are they at this point, 13 years later, in this bleak condition, you know, when the Clintons are supposed to ride in and help rebuild? You got a question, you know, maybe we need something to tell us where that money went. And also keep in mind, they were one of the forefront of people accusing of child trafficking, pulling children out of Haiti and bringing them to the U.S. for these suspicious adoptions and stuff like that. My question is, what do you think about this whole situation? And do you think he's called Barbecue because they're cannibal? Or, you know, just because he loves barbecue?
Well, no. I mean, so the not-so-funny answer to that one is he's actually called Barbecue because he made his name by burning his victims in the street.
I believe it.
So he would take his enemies, and to make an example of them, he would burn them in the streets. And that's, you know, that's got his name. He's now said to be the most powerful man on the island. And, you know, the Dominican Republic shares, Dominican Republic actually has about 2/3 of the island. Haiti has 1/3. Mm-hmm. And Haiti and the Dom Rep does not want these Haitians coming across the mountain. They do not, because it's madness in Haiti right now. It is Somalia on an island, is what it is, and I'm afraid that we're gonna. I don't want this, but I'm afraid we're gonna wind up having to have U.S. troops down there at some point, like we did in the past. And they have one of the most unique and novel and yet painful histories. I mean, they sprang out of slavery. It was slaves in the early 1800s, I believe, that overthrew their French masters and were the first ever black-run country outside of Africa, and yet they have been plagued with, you know, a part of it is because France punished them financially and made their life so miserable that they delved into corruption just to survive. But then it's gotten so bad now that we're seeing, you know, like you said, cannibal gangs and shootings on the streets, and this guy Barbecue burns people, and the true government just fell apart. So here's the bottom line to answer your question. I think it's a freaking mess. I think it has the ability to spill over into other parts of our region, and I think the U.S. military is going to wind up getting involved if they don't get something pacified down there pretty soon. All right. Wow, that was great. Butters and Lee, two of my favorites. Love you both. And Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.